Christ has risen, risen indeed. We say that every Easter, don't we? This is the day more people go to church around this world than any other day of the year. This morning on the news, I saw the gathering outside of the Vatican listening to the Pope. Thousands were gathered there. We put on our Sunday best. We bring flowers to flower the cross. The music is spectacular. The story is the same story that we love. It's a beautiful day. Do we get lost in the holiday and forget what we're here for? I know that most of you don't come on Easter morning to hear the sermon. You come for the music and you come for the fellowship. I know most of you don't come for the sermon. So I decided today that we would just skip the sermon and we'll go right into communion. April Fools. Sorry, but I couldn't resist. Admit, a little bit of you was hopeful. Admit it. Just admit it. Easter Sunday, the day of the greatest surprise ever. It's perfect that today is April Fool's Day. The tomb was empty. Death was fooled. I admit that every year I start planning early. We gather the group together and we plan Lent and we plan all of the music for the orchestra. It's going to be a great day. We plan it early. But I cannot write my Easter sermon until the day before. Most every week, I read a little bit every day to prepare for my sermons. But I can't do that for this one. And last night, as I was putting the final touches, I looked on Facebook and one of my friends, another pastor, posted, "I just can't get started on Easter until I've been to the cross on Good Friday." And I thought, that's it. That's it. You can't come to Easter morning unless you've been to the cross. Until you've been to the cross. And you see Christ placed in that tomb. So I sat yesterday thinking about this morning and trying to decide what the most important thing to say was on this one Sunday morning. The phrase in the scripture that jumped out at me weeks ago and again yesterday, the phrase was, "Woman, why do you weep? Why do you weep?" We don't hear that in other versions of the resurrection. In fact, all of the other resurrection stories are very different. Mary Magdalene plays an important role in most of them. But we don't hear those words, "Woman, why do you weep?" Mary was in a very interesting place. She goes to the tomb and it is empty. The tombstone has been moved away. And so she runs back and tells the men. And of course, the men can't take her word for it. They have to run and check it out. I take it some of you understand what I'm talking about when I say that. The men run. And they declare, "She is right, he is gone." And no one can quite figure out what has happened. But the men, they just go on home. Mary has to stay and stand by herself. And she's weeping and she's trying to understand. And she gets the courage to finally look into the tomb and see that Jesus is really not there. And she sees the angels, and the angels ask, what we all ask when we see someone who is crying. What's the matter? Why are you crying? It's the first thing we always ask, isn't it? What's wrong? We assume when someone's crying that something bad has happened. Now, I'm a crier. I know that's hard for you all to believe. I'm a crier. I personally cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm mad. I cry when I'm tired. I cry when there's something beautiful or happy that happens or a really sweet commercial. I cry. I'm a crier. So to say what's wrong doesn't always work for me because it's not always something wrong. And lots of times it's something is right. So Jesus asked Mary, and he says, "Why are you weeping, woman?" Now, we can pretty much assume that Jesus probably knew why Mary was weeping. But he says, "Why are you weeping, woman?" And Mary does not recognize Jesus. She doesn't really respond to Jesus. And Jesus goes from, "Why are you weeping, woman?" to, "Why are you weeping, Mary?" Mary. That seems so insignificant to you and me, but it takes the place. Takes Mary from this place of confusion, possibly anger, definitely loss. And he speaks that word, Mary. And he takes her from a place of confusion and anger and loss to a place of comfort and peace. Not just seeing Jesus again, but being known by Jesus. To have him talking and moving and living right in front of her. I can't imagine how Mary's mood must have swung from her sadness to this tremendous, amazing joy. In the beginning of this time in the garden, Mary was in a place where she could not or would not see Jesus. Despite the fact that he was standing right there with her, speaking to her, she heard a voice. I assume she saw his face, but she could not see because she was not ready to see Jesus. But when he finally reached down and called her by name, she saw the man for who he really was, her Jesus. She could see, she could be known by him. In the midst of their terribly sad, dark moment in her life, joy and love surrounded her. A few weeks ago, I was at a store in Breckenridge, Colorado, and I was looking for a St. Patrick's Day t-shirt because Saturday was coming and I had no green, and I knew the boys were going to pinch me if I didn't wear green. So I was looking for a t-shirt, and I was looking on this clearance rack, and I'd found my green shirt, but I was looking, it was a buy one, get one free, so I was looking for a free one, and I came across this shirt that I loved that said, "Love is everywhere." I bought the shirt, and I was wearing it, and I looked over to Roy one day, and I said, "You know what? This shirt will preach. It'll preach." I started to wear it today, but I didn't. How often do I get in a place that I can't or I won't see Jesus around me? I can't or I won't see Jesus in situations that are hard. How often am I in pain and I can't see those around me that are supporting me and helping me and praying for me and loving me? How often am I in the midst of loss And I can't see those around me who lift me up, who surround me with so much love that I can't begin to find, that I do begin to find myself. How often do I see nothing but darkness around me and I just curl up from fear and I don't see those who are shining a light all around me? We, like Mary, sometimes just move so fast that we don't take the time to just notice that Jesus is right here with us. We don't see the love shining all around us that gives us what we need to finally hear that wonderful voice saying, Mary, or Cheryl, or Kay, or Linnell, or Tom. If Easter does anything at all for you this year, I pray that it slows you down and gives you the desire to find Christ in everything you experience. Whether Christ is just walking with you and laughing and sharing, or whether Christ is shining a light into your darkness, or whether he's crying with you over your loss. Maybe you see Christ as you stand with others who are struggling, or maybe you see him as you stand outside and look at the beauty of this earth created for you. May this Easter day remind you that God is everywhere. Because of the love that God sent in the form of his Son, and because of his sacrifice, and because of the joy of resurrection, we can clearly see that God is love, and love is everywhere. We come to this table this morning. It's fitting that we gather around this table, because this table is our reminder of why we have Easter. This table is our reminder each month as we come and gather and take the bread and take the cup. It's our reminder that love is with us always, even in our darkest times, even in our most joyous moments. If we open our eyes, if we listen, Christ is with us. Would our servers please